Now.
RSM Central's Form Express.
Moonee Valley's biggest day on a Saturday afternoon tomorrow, and of course it's WS Cox Plate. Gold Trip, the news that has just broken the last half an hour or so, he's out of the WS Cox Plate as we say a big hello to Mark Guest. G'day, Guesty.
Hi, Gareth.
Yeah, a little unfortunate for the Australian bloodstock team there and the Mara and Eustace stable with Gold Trip out of the Cox Plate, the French import.
Yeah, real shame that, because, I mean, such a big thing to purchase the horse, bring it out, and fall at the last, the final hurdle sort of thing, so to speak. So it's a real shame. The connection to be devastated. So it's, I think everyone in the racing game be feeling for them. But anyway, that's out of anyone's hands, really, just the best aside.
You're the Valley specialist, Guesty, so take it away with your best bets on Cox Plate Day.
And you'll be up and about with the Dodgers going down.
Yeah, I'm not a Dodgers fan. I was cheering for Atlanta.
I heard you got a bit of mail that the Dodgers were a risk bet today.
Adrian Dunn, the best baseball form analyst that we
have. Oh, he was.
We'll have to get him on the show for the World Series. Don't worry about
good.
That.
Yeah, exactly. All right, tomorrow, the big day. Yes. So I think Elephant should win race six. It meets, actually, Romanzo. I'll give a chance to. It meets it better at the weights when it defeated it a couple of starts ago. And then didn't have any luck in the two-rack handicap. Ran so well in the field, only going down narrowly to Superstorm. So I think it's got to be the one to beat. 225, race six, number five, my first bet.
Then where do we go, Guesty, after the Elephant? Kicks us off with the winning start there at the Valley.
That's it. Race eight, number 10, Pondus. Drawn well. There was a fast run race last time at Flemington. Going to improve so much. That was its first run for 3 months or so, 4 months or so. So, 3 months. So I think just allowing for improvement. But lots of ability. We saw it last year running so well on the Queen Elizabeth behind True Self. Only beaten the length there and came from back and hit the line strongly. So Pondus for mine from that nice draw at $3.80, race eight, number 10.
All right, then, for Lloyd Williams, and the final of your specials, Guesty.
Yeah, I can't go past Zaki. He still ran well the other day at Caulfield. He wasn't beaten far, and things just didn't work out. So he looks to work really well around the valley. The stables, you know, we've heard him speak many times and how happy they've been with his progress from his last run into this one. So I think just up on the speed, and if it just holds its form from last time, I think it'll be winning. $3.
Manager of the Stars, you manage the country's best jockey, James McDonald. He's in Victoria. Do you give him a rev up? How do you approach Cox Plate Day? You're an inspirational man, Guesty. You're an inspiring man. How do you approach that tomorrow with J-Mac?
I think he would be the last bloke that needs a rev up. He's the most competitive person I've ever met. I mean, he'd want to win two hands crawling up a wall. He'd say, who will get to the top first?
So you have to have a calming influence on him then, Guesty.
No, he's so professional and just handles it perfectly. I had a bloke, actually, a guy from up in Sydney called me during the week, and he said, I've never seen, he said, I stood next to him at the races, and he said, I realised when a sportsman is in tune with what's going on, he said, I've never seen so much focus that James had with Nature Strip in the lead up to it. He said, I've never seen a sportsman in that sort of zone the way James was. And it was interesting to hear someone else talking about him at what happened last week at Randwick. So he doesn't need any pep up at all, mate. He just goes about his business like he does every time, you know. It's like, I think, you know, all the best jockeys have their routine, and they know what they've got to do to get the best out of themselves.
You're a star, Guesty. Thanks for that, mate. So, Zaki in the Cox Plate for you.
Yeah, and it's 25-1. You can take those three and 25-1, Relevant, Ponder, Zaki, and two roughies, each way chances. Nicolite in race three, and then William Crockett, number five. And Sterrell in the Tessio, race 10, number six, $7 each way.
You're a good man, Guesty. Enjoy Cox Plate Day.
Go for it, mate.
RSM Central's Form Express.
Cox Plate Day at Moonee Valley. Let's hear from some of the major players regarding their runners at Moonee Valley on a Saturday afternoon. Generation, I know that Dean Lester's keen on this horse's chances in the fourth race. Let's hear from his co-trainer, Dave Eustace.
He's going really well. I mean, he was definitely unlucky last time in that, you know, it was always going to be tricky. It's just one of those valley runs. He was drawn wide and was trapped wide, but was very, very brave to sort of, and showed his class to stick on the way he did and wasn't beaten far. So, yeah, he's had a bit of time between runs. He's bounced back well, and I'm very happy that he'll run. It'll be great.
He's Dave Eustace once again talking about the favourite, Floating Artist's chances in the Moonee Valley Gold Cup.
There's going to be good speed on, and you would think he'd be sat sort of third, fourth, just behind it. I don't think anything will be able to lead Starcast or up if he adopts his usual tactic. So he should get a nice toe in. He's clearly likes the valley. He's a winner there, and the mile and a half will be no problem.
Annabelle Neesham trains the favourite in tomorrow's Cox Plate. Of course, I speak of Saki.
In terms of tactics and the plan, I just leave it. I'm leaving it to James. He knows the horse. He knows how to ride it. I tell him to do something. He's not going to. He'll just do what he wants to do anyway, which is fair enough because he knows the horse. So I'll leave that to him, and he'll just ride him on instinct. So I don't think he'll know whether he's going to lead or be outside. I don't think he knows. I think he'll just ride him on instinct. And yeah, the one thing, you know, we do want is a good tempo and a high pressure race. And but you know, most Cox Plates are, aren't they? And yeah, hopefully those other two get in the field, and it's a field of 10 rather than 8.
Annabelle only started trading 14 months ago, and she's got two runners in the Cox Plate. Her second runner is Mwanga.
I think he's probably slipped under the radar a bit. He's such a well-credentialed horse. He's finished it. Neck behind incentivised two starts ago, which is probably looking the best form in the race at the moment. And he's, you know, he's coming off the back of a really brave effort in the Epsom. So, look, he's in great order.
Here's James Cummings on the chances of Animo in the Cox Plate.
He has drawn wide barriers in all of his Group 1 attempts outside of the mid-draw and the size. Listen, it's not so bad compared to the wide draws and the Blue Diamond and the Slipper. I mean, they were really going to make things hard for this horse to win those races, and that's the way it unfolded. But it's not so bad. It's not so bad, you know, thinking about this race. We think that it gives him every opportunity to be ridden for his asset, and without giving that much away, I think it's clear that at the very least, Animo's the type of horse to let things unfold, and his best performances have been able to come from when jockeys have been able to ride him with that sort of confidence. Animo's had the chance to do his best, and I think that that's the way it needs to unfold when you imagine Animo possibly winning this race.
Joseph O'Brien's travelling foreman Mark Power on State of Rest.
He hadn't had too many runs at home. He had only one run before that in the Curra in Ireland, and then he travelled across to Saratoga and won that Grade 1. So he could be a horse in the improve, maybe. Fingers crossed, that's what we're hoping, anyway. I know that I can only speak for our lad in that sense, and our lad doesn't lack any speed, and yeah, he's got plenty of it. I don't think he'd have any problem. He hit the line well over 1,900 in Saratoga, and I don't foresee the 2,000 metres being a problem.
He's Peter Snowden on Cap Devon's chances.
You can't see a lot of speed there, really. Annabelle's horse is probably the only horse that's got speed, there, genuine speed, so it's probably going to be running at a fast pace. So 49 kilos on the back is probably better off being up there rather than sort out the back and have to make it all take off at the one time, because the speed there might have a bit more turn of foot than what he has. But he showed his best two runs that I've had him have both been over a mile now. That's the Champagne, and he's run the course with Guineas. They've been by far his best run, so I'm quite confident he's going to run the trip out well.
Jamie Richards on Probabil.
Yeah, I think that's certainly a concern. No doubt about that. In my mind, I think 2,000 metres is right at the top of her distance range. So, you know, I don't think there's going to be anywhere to hide. There's going to be pressure on from at least 1,000 or 1,200, I would have thought. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting race, and hopefully we can see the weather play its part, race on a good track, and hopefully we can be competitive.
And Mick Price on Ana Visto's chances in race number 10.
I think I've always thought that she will be beautiful over a mile, but the problem with her is she's a revy sort of a mare, and we spent a lot of time asking her to relax and come back and come back. I think she's pretty right. I would love to see her go to the front and enjoy herself in front rather than get tackled and eyeballed. If she does get tackled on over races, it would be against her. But if she went to the front and was able to just come back underneath Jai and get a nice run in the race, mile won't be a problem for her.
Big day at Randwick as well, highlighted by the $2 million, the invitation, the first ever running of the invitation for the fillies and the mares. And Ronnie Duffersey joins us now. Good morning to you, afternoon to you, Ron.
Yeah, good afternoon, Gareth.
Where do we start with your specials at this card at Randwick?
We start in race two, races 2, 5, and 7. Race two, different form here, number 2, Kit's Bull. Now, this is a real strong staying horse that puts himself on speed, and that's one thing I can't find here is speed. So barrier one, I'm anticipating Tim Clark to be aggressive, take control of the race on an 8-metre rail, and if that's the case, I think he's going to give a huge sight. Second up here, which he's really lifted second up in the past, so happy to be with him. Race two, number 2, Kit's Bull. We can move along to race number 5, the Falante Handicap. I'm very keen on number 1 here, Emerald Kingdom. He's got proper form. He won the BTC Sprint leading into the Stradbroke. He's got form around the first up there. He did a lot of work and a really good horse run him down, Apache Chase. He'll get across to the lead here. I know he's got 60.5 kilos, but I think he might be off and running. He's another one. Have a look at his second up stats. He usually jumps out of the ground. So very comfortable with him. I thought he was the better of the day, along with race 7, number 3, Zay Wreck. This is a lovely setup for him. Team Hawks have probably run some of their nice up-and-coming stays in this race. They won it with Master of Wine and The Lucky Day. So I think this horse sets up off a Group 1 win. Well, I thought it was the best run of his preparation at 2,400 in the Metro. Didn't get a lot of clear room down the straight. Give him half a break here. I think he gets over the top of them. Race 7, number 3, Zarek.
The Bondi Stakes there, Ronnie?
It's a tricky one. I think the big improver might be Kota Healy, number 4. There's really good money for him second up. And he sat outside the lead and sort of had to put the pressure on the leader, and he was a sitting shot for the fit horses. So now he's third up, and the other favourites are sort of fifth and fourth up or whatever. I think he might be the improver, and he'll be much better with a sit from an inside draw. So just looking for a little bit better odds there with Kota Healy.
Who wins the mare's race?
Well, I'll leave that to you. I think it's impossible. I think it's impossible. I was desperate to tip Ice Spark. Saying that we're going to get an inch of rain this week. We haven't had a thing. We had a couple of mils this morning, so we're going to be working on a pretty fast track. But I still want to be with her. It was a good track in the Epsom, and she should have fought that finish out. I know she's got the outside draw, but I'm half locked into it, so I'm going to stay with her. But I thought Madame Rouge had a rough hope, 25-1. Typical Hawk set. That's typical Wallace set up there. Two runs and a trial, ready to go. But I'll leave that to the punters to do their own form there because it's stacked full of chances.
Who wins the Cox Plate?
I think it's the big three. Might be the big three in the market. I like the three-year-old NMO, but geez, I love three-year-olds that can race on speed in a Cox Plate.
Yeah.
And Captivon sets up beautifully. I can't get them that far apart in the market, really. So I'll probably end up backing both three-year-olds.
And I was watching you on. I love watching you or reading you on social media, Ronnie, and you found a few, I think, at Mooney Valley at a price. Is that right?
Yeah, I think Attorney, he just forgive him the other day. There's a few little veterinary excuses. He was expected to go much better in the Metro, and you judge him on his Kingston Town run, and there's no way in the wide, wide world he should be a 25-1 chance there. I don't know. I haven't looked at the prices this morning, but that's what he was, and I think he can shape up in a race like that. He's pretty good, pretty good placer of horses, Matty Smith. I thought he was the better of the long shots there.
$23 still today, Ronnie. Enjoy Cox Plate Day, mate.
Thanks, Gareth.
There's Ron Duffercy there. Michael Maxworthy joins us to help us back a winner there at Doomben on a Saturday afternoon. G'day, Maxie.
Hello, Gareth. We've had a little bit of rain in Brisbane this week, a big shower about 10 minutes ago. So I'm looking at a sort of soft to heavy, just bordering around the 7, the 8 mark. And in race number 7, we've got 10 races tomorrow. Number 9, Enterprise Kerem, gets all of the ticks here. She likes rain affected. She's up to the mile, third up from the spell from a good gate, and she's got no weight on her back. She's very genuine. She led last start because she had to, still won it, but she gets plenty of leaders here, so she should be able to get the run of the race, tuck in behind in that good spot, third, fourth, the fence at Doomben. So we'll go 7-9, Enterprise Kerem. Then over to race 8, this is a benchmark 70, is usually a not much between them. They're very competitive races, but I think this country horse, number 19, Go Wanji, can make his presence felt here. He's got a start. Larry Cassidy takes over as the rider. I think he's more than up to winning a benchmark 70 in Brisbane on a Saturday. I love him up the extra trip. I know he was beaten at Warwick last start, but close to a good thing beaten. He had 62 kilos from gate 10. He was back and had to come extremely wide when the leader sort of kicked towards the inside, but he didn't shirk the task, hitting the line hard out wide. He's the other one, around about 5.50, 8.19, Go Wanji. And then in the last, race 10, number 2, Contemptuous. Because Thastos has been entered with his class 6 handicap with a rating of 95, he's compressed the weight. And Contemptuous, with the claim, has got only 53 kilos on his back. He's in great form, strong form lines, beautifully drawn. I can't fault him either. So pretty keen tomorrow. 7-9 Enterprise Kerem, 8-19 Go Wanji, and race 10, number 2, Contemptuous.
Love it, Maxie. Might have an all up as well. Jonker into Emerald Kingdom for the Queenslanders.
Yes, I think Jonker, I think look for him to look for the lead tonight at Moonee Valley. Yes. And if he's in front turning into the straight, he could be very, very hard to run down. I like him, and there's good money coming for him.
I love the confidence from Tony Golan this morning with us here on RSN Central, Maxie. And then you've just confirmed it, so it's chips in. Enjoy your day.
Okay, thank you, Gareth. Bye-bye. Max.
Peter Anton, it's a good day racing there at Ascot tomorrow afternoon. Good morning to afternoon to you.
Yeah, good day, Gareth.
Where do we start with your specials?
Look, race 5 for me. I've gone back through this race and redone the speed map in the last, say, 12 hours or so, and I just keep coming back to Testing Love, which is always a danger because the Cerise and White, William Pike and I don't necessarily get along at the best of times, but it just seems to map really well. It's got Angelic Mistra on the inside of it. There's a couple of other horses that won't have too much gate speed from the inside, so it looks like we'll be able to sit one off. And it's just been producing really good figures being kept at the 1,200 this prep. I know last prep they tried to take it forward on a couple of occasions and up in distance. They were messing around with it, but I actually think this is one of the better of the age group in the Cerise and White. So, look, I'm prepared to take the $4.80. And Snipperucci, the younger horse, has been backed into favouritism out of the speed map, I think, more than anything. But it will need to improve to be knocking off some of these older horses. So we'll start off with race 5, number 11, Testing Love.
All right, then where do we go?
I'll go to the next race, race 6. This is a really good race. There's some strong horses in this. Hot Zed's one of them. Magical Dream. Secret Plan was enormous first up, but it was completely blessed. And now it's drawn gate 10 and we'll get back in a race that does look genuine, but I still have a concern about settling last on a day like tomorrow. The Fugazi for me was really impressive first up. It wasn't necessarily clear at any stage in the straight, still managed to run home with a really fast last section. Again, draws pretty well here for Clint Johnston, Porter and gate 3. And I just think around that $9 mark, $8.59, it just presents a bit of value in what's a pretty good race overall. But this horse has some good ability. So it should be able to handle, I think, the step up against some of these better horses. So that's race 6, number 8, the Fugazi.
Who wins the Belgravia?
Really good question. It's a Ray Day is short enough, but it does tick a few boxes of that different form. I keep going back to Flying Missile. That horse is 3 wide, no cover, but it's still got the best figure that I've got out of any of these horses. So, again, $9.50, $10 or so, I think we can still follow that horse up there in the Belgravia.
It's always a pleasure to catch up with you, Peter.
No worries. Thanks, Gareth.
It's always a pleasure to catch up with this man, Simon Miller, who trains It's a Rain Day, the favourite here for the Belgravia tomorrow in Perth. G'day, Simon.
Morning, Gareth. You well?
I am well. It's a Rain Day. Can this exciting youngster get the job done in the feature there over the 1,200 metres?
Yeah, he's a great chance. He's had a faultless prep. He's on an upward spiral, so there's no reason why he couldn't be right there in the thick of things as they get towards the end of the race.
Some big names in the ownership as well. What have you told them this morning? Bet up?
I think they've been betting up on him every start. So, no doubt they would have bet up. And I think they were playing features. Yeah. He's a good horse.
All right, Lewa, it was a brewing effort to win first up for your stable there the other day. Not for your stable, first up for its preparation. It came from nowhere. It's a big price once again as well.
Yeah, she's always, they always let you on with her, so she gets under the radar. And she had an outstanding juvenile career, and she's come back bigger and stronger. It was going to show the other day in what was a really good first up win. So she's in for a great prep, and she's... she's come on from a dominant win first up, but she'll be giving the stablemate a bit of a start, so we'll see how that unfolds late.
Yeah, exciting to see what It's a Rain Day can do tomorrow. You've got Starfield Impact, Platinum Bullet and Angelic Miss. Betting propositions, any of those three?
I like all three each way, and they're each way prices, so they're all going really well. They all sprint well fresh, and Starfield Impact's probably the interesting one. It's a new runner for our stable, and we'll need a bit of luck from that gate, but she's impressed me with her turn of foot at home, so if she can take that to the races, she'll get that a massive shake. Big odds.
Yes, all right then, we'll get on. Race 7, number 2. We miss you here in Melbourne. I know that you call WA home these days, but... we're talking about our favourite pubs, and the Emerald's come up a few times, and they tell me you were the king of the Emerald.
Did some of my best work there.
Yes.
There's a lot of pubs in Melbourne that I love.
Yeah.
So, I used to, mate, one thing I miss, well, obviously, we can't get over there.
Yeah.
But even my uncle used to take me to all the non-TAB meetings, and that's one thing I cherish.
Yeah.
The most, and you know, I'd do an Omeo Swiss Creek weekend, and you'd hit the local pubs up there in the high country. It was the greatest weekend. So there's a lot of good pubs in Melbourne or in Victoria.
We will do it again. Enjoy heading down. I don't know where you're going. Sounds like probably this time of the morning on a Friday. I reckon you'd be heading down south.
You're free. Yeah. I'm on the way back.
All right.
No, I'm on the way back. I did Spellers at Amelia Park all day yesterday, and I stayed the night, and I'm heading back up now.
Right,
you've done well there. Your GPS is working beautifully.
You have a wonderful day, and the best of luck with your team there tomorrow.
Thanks, Gareth. Lovely to chat to you. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Happy Freedom Day.
Yes, thank you. Simon Miller there. Addictions, race 9, number 12. Is the tip from Nadia at Morphaville. Race 6, number 6, So You Can. And Deal Breaker, race 4, number 2. So race 4, number 2. Race 6, number 6. Race 9, number 12. The selection's there for Nadia at Morphaville tomorrow.
RSM Central's Form Express.
Great night of harness racing at Geelong tomorrow night, highlighted by some terrific juvenile racing, but... the feature event is the Geelong Cup. As always, on a big night like this, Emma Stewart and Clayton Tonkin will play a major part. And Emma joins us now here on RSN Central. Good afternoon to you, Emma.
Good afternoon.
Are we going dancing early in race number 2? Can go dance and kick up and lead all of the way, Em?
I'd like to think he can, but he may get crossed, so he may be racing for a bit of luck.
Okay. How's he recovered from getting in a little bit of trouble during the Derby heat?
Yeah, no, he's come through the runs well. He ran to a bit of interference and he's trained on well, so there's no problems with him.
In the Tatlow, you've got 6 runners. Who's your best chance, Em?
I think in Cypher with the draw, she's a pretty classy filly. She's already won a Group 1. But I do not dislike any of my other chances. So Petalante is a great horse. Those Irish Black Label, Fiamma, Joe and Joe, and... my other one goes pretty good as well.
Yeah,
so
Rich Beauty, Fiamma.
Rich Beauty, Yep. So, but I think in Cypher with the draw.
Petalante's got something about her. An Irish Black Label defeated her before they went for a break. With the way that you think that maybe the race will pan out with their gate speed, do you have a Cypher in front of the others? In front? With
yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. Yep. She's got enough gate speed, and yeah, I think she's pretty forward in her prep at the moment. So I think she'd be pretty hard to beat.
All right then, Em. We'll move on then. Majida and Techie's Angel. It looks a good race for both mares, but Majida, I guess, has the advantage with the draw.
Yeah, she does. And her run last week was terrific, and she's sort of going to strip fit her again this week. So she's definitely my pick in that one.
All right, then. In the Cup, four chances. About time, Mac Dan, four big men and out to play. Can you stand one out there?
All depending on tempo. If the races run pretty hot, I think out to play could probably get home over the top of them. But yep. If not, if it's a pretty muddling speed, I think Mac Dan's probably my best hope.
I like that. What about Beach Filler? Do you expect him to lead all of the way in the two-year-old Colts and Gelding's Tatlow Stakes?
Yeah, I do. I think he's a pretty classy colt, and he's come back well from a spell, and he trialled good, so, I think he'd be very hard to beat.
The Phillies race is a beauty, but Beach Music looks tough to beat once again. Em, how's she trained on since her brave effort in the Oaks?
Yeah, she's really good. She's trained on well. It's going to be tough to sort of match up against the Kiwi, but we'll see how we go.
Dare I say it, Em, do we back Struve tomorrow?
Yes.
All right, then, last race, race 10, number 7, at 11:03. We'll be kicking strongly at the pub. What's your best on the card, Emma?
It'd have to be Beach Villa, I think.
Beach Villa. Same as Clayton. I heard Clayton during the week doing the media rounds. There you go. Race 8, number 2, Beach Villa. You're a star, Em. We wish you the best of luck.
No worries. Thanks a lot.
There's Emma Stewart. My staking plan, I'm with a pacer by the name. Now, I can't believe the price of Relentless Me. $61, $8 the place. $200 the place on her into Beach Music at $3, which is race number 9, horse number 10. So race 9, horse number 10. But Relentless Me, each way all day in race number 3 there at Geelong. Heats of the Hume Cup there over the 600 at the Meadows will be the highlight there. And George Ferugia joins us. Hello, George.
G'day, Gareth. How are you?
All right, then. How do we back a winner there at the Meadows tomorrow night? Back to their normal time slot because we're out of curfew, of course, here in Melbourne now, Georgie.
Yeah, just slightly. It's probably a touch earlier than usual, Gareth, but you're right. I mean, probably away from the gallops. Back to normality, as you would say. Look, as we mentioned in the podcast, Gareth, for the Phoenix, I really like Paddy Wants Pats tomorrow night because he's a greyhound that can really ping the leads. He's got Graceland Bale drawn next to him, Bobby the Brood in 3, Mapunga Felix in 4, and even Eat My Dust in 5. If Paddy Wants Pats jumps like we know he can, he'll just outpace them, Gareth, and then have the ascendancy with a lap out. And we've seen how strong he's been over 500 metres. Yes, there's good dogs in the race, but there's good dogs overall 6 heats. Fernando Frank's a very, very good dog. He's probably the in-form middle distance chaser in the country at the moment, but I just like where Paddy Wants Pats is drawn, and he's been pretty solid at around the $3.10 mark, Gareth. So he's the one we're keen on. Just quickly looking at the other heats, Zipping Rambo is in the first heat. He probably highlights them all after his Sandown Cup win, and he's come back 4 runs from a spell, Gareth, and he ran 29.44 at Sandown last start. He's an absolute star. If we move on, Fernando Caz, obviously, for Kayla Cottrell. She's got, through the help of her dad as well, got this ability to get her greyhounds to get out and go. And we know when Fernando Caz does that, she's incredibly hard to run down. Of the other heats, Tyler Durden is favourite in an open race against Bounce Back and Untapped in Heat 4. Heat 5, Gareth, Mapunga Warrior is the favourite. There's a greyhound coming from New South Wales called Zipping Alabama who's got a lot of ability. Highly explosive is in the race. Jarek Bale, another cracker. And at the end, one of my favourite greyhounds is Gypsy Wyong. She's a $2.50 favourite in the 6 heat. So just like the Cranbourne Cup, Gareth, the winners and the two fastest seconds go through to this final on Melbourne Cup Eve, worth $75,000 to the winner. And just quickly, Gareth, for those having a play on the quaddie, make sure you check your scratchings. 1 and 6 into 2, 5 and 7. Into 1, 2, 3 and 5. Into 1, 2, 4 and 8.
I've got a multi for you tomorrow or tonight and tomorrow, Georgie.
Yeah, what do you got?
The Tonk into Paddy.
Yeah, look, it's very hard to bet against the Tonk. I actually thought he would be a little bit shorter, Gareth, didn't you? Like, shopping around the $175.80 mark for a greyhound of his calibre. I know, again, when you're racing in this class, there's no easy race, but he runs up to his best, and he was very, very good in that heat of the Bendigo Cup. So that's you're probably on the money there. And I don't know, have you scored a straw yet for Hushing Dusk yet?
100%. I've just done the deal. So Tigalong Tonk and Hushing Dusk. I wonder what we'll call it. The Tonk, I don't know. I'll think about it. Tigalong Hushing, or no, I'll think about it. I'll think about it and let you know.
Absolutely, mate.
Good on you, Georgie. Enjoy your
week. Speak to you tomorrow, mate.
There you go, George Ferrugia there. Hi, Gareth. In regards to state of rest, how firm would that track have to be at Saratoga when he won last start? It looked impressive, and it seems like a good time of 1:53, but would you compare that time on our good tracks? I think he needs a good track, Steve, state of rest, but if he does get that, if he does get a track there that suits him, I don't think he wants too much rain. I think he's a wonderful chance. I know Dean Lester gave him a big push. He's got a really good turn of foot. What was Mitch Beer's tip, G-Man? It's race one, number five at Cootamundra. It's not far away now. We'll take a quick break. On the other side of it, we'll come back with Dean Evans.